You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Thursday, 22 August. Fed balance sheet data, 10:30 this evening. Previous number was $7.18 trillion. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Chantal Marks from FNB Wealth and Investments. Spur, not bad numbers. They seem to downplay it a bit, but not bad numbers and still debt-free. Kobus Lupcher from Curo. Growth continues. Cash flow exceeding capex for the first time. I get a sense there's a bit of a tipping point there. And Roland Peens from Wine Cellar. They are listing an actively managed certificate for wine investors. That's the good news. The bad news, it's going to be listed in Switzerland. But hey, we can buy in Switzerland. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Doubts raised about compliance of Bell's minorities buyout circular. Claims made that it did not disclose concert parties' trade volumes from 6 months before it received a non-binding letter of interest. Business Day. Reserve Bank has no more excuses after inflation slows. July's 4.6, lowest in 3 years, and supports expectations of a cut in September. I think the question is no longer cut. The question is it a quarter or half a percent? Morning markets, US is green, S&P up 0.4%, NASDAQ 0.5% higher. East is mostly green, Sydney is a couple of points to the red, Tokyo up 0.6%, Hong Kong a third higher, and Tencent up 0.2%. Commodities mixed, gold 2,539, Brent 7,609, on the green side, platinum 971, palladium 943, rand 1787, bitcoin 60,400, and top 40 opening call 85 points to the green. That is a tenth of a percent higher.
MoneyWeb Now on the money, also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Chantal Marks, Head of Research, FNB Wealth and Investments. Chantal, Spur results out yesterday. A lot to like about it. ROE, what, 29.6%, no debt. They make the point that it was a volatile period. I thought the numbers were good, and I thought they were perhaps a little downbeat in them, and certainly their outlook was cautious as well. You like Spur. What's your take on those numbers?
Yes, so I mean, there certainly was a lot to like, as you mentioned. I mean, I thought that, especially given the trading environment, the fact that they were able to grow their revenue so strongly was really, really encouraging. Also managing to expand the gross margin. Mm. I think the one area where I was a little bit iffy was the fact that operating expenses were up by 25.3%. Now, Doppio Zero's inclusion, or the Doppio Group's inclusion, will play a part there. But, I mean, that's a pretty sizable jump, and that results in some operating margin pressure. And I think that that's probably why they were downplaying the result. Cash generation was pretty decent, some working capital changes there having an impact, but nothing to be overly concerned about. And as you mentioned, just a lot of cash in hand, which means that even if they make a little mistake, it's not the end of the world. They didn't buy Gourmet Burger Kitchen in the UK. So yeah, I mean, I really liked it. And I think that the operating environment is probably going to improve into the fourth quarter going into next year. I'm really encouraged by how well their family loyalty program is doing in Spur. I mean, I'm using it and it's pretty good. So, yeah, I mean, I think that this was just an overall decent result. And one of the issues, so I mentioned the operating expenses. The only other issue is that the stock has given you 31% in 1 year. So where to from? Yeah,
I take your point. Notwithstanding throwing another QSR under the gourmet burger, it's interesting because revenue is up 14%, yet diluted earnings up 9.4%, and of course dividend up. Where's that dividend? It's just disappeared off my screen. But I take your point. It's that contraction. But they really are working, and that's 3 million odd on their loyalty program. They make the point that customer count numbers unchanged, but average spend per head grew above menu price inflation. I suppose that's what we want to see in tough times as well. They're getting those families in, and the families are spending. And by all accounts, a lot of it is that loyalty.
Yes, and you know what you're getting when you're going to a spa,
Yeah.
and a Panarottis for that matter. You know what the food's going to taste like. You know it's going to be good. The kids are entertained and happy. They're absolutely delighted, let me tell you that. And you have, I think, one of the things that probably is also something to think about here is you have somewhere to go when you want to get out of the house when it's raining. You have somewhere to go, and I think what they had over the last few years was when there's load shedding, you have somewhere to go, and I do think that that could probably also explain a little bit of softness in the top. Well, maybe a little bit of apprehension from their side because now we don't have load shedding, right? Well, not for now. We don't have load shedding. I still have PTSD, so I won't believe it until I'm an old lady that load shedding is really behind us. And I just want to mention, I mean, on the dividend, it's a solid dividend. I was looking at the historic dividend yield now. We're on a 12-month historic dividend yield of 6.2%. That's proper, Simon. This is not a dividend company.
Yeah, that is. I mean, 6.2. I mean, that's bank money. I mean, maybe not right now on the high interest rate, but roll forward a bit when interest rates are down. That is proper sort of bank rates. We'll leave it there. Chantal Marks, Head of Research, FNB Wealth and Investment. Always appreciate the early morning. And that's our question today. Are you holding QSR stocks, a quick service restaurant? Although, actually, I mean, suppose more than just QSR, but let's lump them into it. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
Your money gives a damn. If it could protest and sign petitions, your money would. But your money can do more than that. When you invest in Stanlib's infrastructure investment fund, beyond getting solid returns, you are helping to build a more sustainable future through job creation and positive economic growth. Damn right you are. Invest for more impact at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting with Kubis Lupsha, CEO at Curo. 6 months ending June saw revenue up 8%, HEPS up 16%, learners 1% higher. Kubis, appreciate the time. A good set of numbers. What stood out for me in your presentation was a slide where you show number of grade 8 versus number of grade 12 learners at this point in time. There's about a 2,000 less pupils in grade 12 or 2,000 more in grade 8, the other way around. They will age into grade 12. Even in your existing schools, there is good growth prospects over the next couple of years as pupils move through the system.
Yeah, thank you, Simon, for your interest in Curo. And I think you've summarized it really well. So it's what I would call growth momentum within our system, which is that there's an element of rollover from one grade to the next. And as our high schools grow and mature, you have bigger intakes in lower grades that then gradually work their way through the system. So it's a very powerful element within our aspirations and very much achievable over the next 4 to 5 years that we could add maybe 7,000 or so learners in our high schools on that basis.
It's an easy add because, of course, they're already there. What sort of capacity are you sitting at? And I was looking at it, I mean, overall, it's the low 70%. And again, as you add the students, your costs don't commensurately increase either.
Yeah, I think one must be balanced. I mean, the extent to which we add extra classrooms and, of course, teachers to accommodate additional learners. I mean, there's a step approach where you full existing and then you've got to open another class and appoint a new teacher and class in that regard. So not that easy. But I think, I mean, for us, what is exciting is the confidence that builds in a school as the numbers grow to be more competitive on the sports field, to be perhaps more confident in other areas. And of course, just the extent to which, you know, we can work with many more learners to prepare confident and really sort of talented people to take on life. So from our perspective, very exciting and certainly a very inspiring process for us.
I hadn't thought of that, of course. I mean, you know, you start your first school, I suppose you've got a classroom, you've got some students. You're not playing rugby or netball with the school down the road because you don't have capacity. That's an important part of a school and it's something which really does come with scale.
It does. And I mean, I think another element though, which from our perspective is powerful, is that we recently welcomed back a talented learner from Paris who returned home at 18 years old with a silver Olympic medal. Now, I mean, that's outrageous. He did the work, okay? He did the practice, he did the training, but we were able to, from a coaching and so on perspective, we were involved in that. And I think we're able to invest within our organization in excellence to a level that has national reach, national scale, and that does set us apart. It does make the effort more powerful and more justified. When you set up, you know, national centers of excellence and have arguably 73,000 Olympians that can take advantage of it.
I like that. A 17-year-old winning Olympic gold is outrageous and insane talent, absolute insane talent. You're at the point now, I mean, you're still spending on CapEx. You've got about a 700 million rand budget for the year, but you're at the point where cash from operations now exceeding. Again, an important sort of a tipping point as the business matures. I mean, I've been watching Curro for about 15 odd years in the listing, and this is another important milestone.
But really important. I mean, fundamentally, I guess the difference between an organization and a business is one that generates real cash. So we've reached the point where we've established a large base, and make no mistake, for us to maintain the scale of operations, which, you know, touches 800,000 square meters of buildings and all the rest of it, you know, it, that demands CapEx on everything from waterproofing and painting and all the rest on an annual basis. So that number on a sustainable basis will probably be somewhere between 300 and 400 million rand annually. And then over and above, and that, you know, that's replacing computers and buses and all that kind of stuff. And then above that is the ability to either expand the portfolio with additional classrooms and buildings and bathrooms and so on, for instance, to accommodate additional high school learners, and or to, you know, kind of pay bigger dividends, and or to buy back shares, and or to acquire other businesses or schools. So the option set to enhance shareholder returns is really picking up at this stage of our business model.
I was also looking, you had a map of where you are, Gauteng at 41, Western Cape down at 15. What stood out for me, and my complete ignorance on my behalf, I hadn't realized you had a presence in Namibia and Botswana. It's small, but it's still there. And I suppose important markets, and I want to say easy in inverted commas markets, if we're going to move beyond the borders.
This is an entrepreneurial organization, and we've taken opportunities wherever they presented themselves over the years, and we've ended up with a good school in Gaborone and an exceptional school in Windhoek. And as a result of our Windhoek presence, we've ended up expanding on the Namibian operations. We opened two additional campuses, one in the north, kind of just short of the Kuneni River, in an area called Ashana that's next to Ondangwa and Ongaduwa, and then another school campus in Walvis Bay. So smallish market, but certainly a market that we've served well from Windhoek, and we've just seen other opportunities there. So we've got a lot of opportunities still within South Africa, partly to fill the capacity that we have and perhaps in a few other sites, but we're not closed to any opportunities wherever they may present themselves.
I take your point. In education, the world over is a hugely important component for parents. We'll leave it there. That's Kobus Loubser. He's CEO of Curro. Really appreciate the time today.
Your money knows that reaching new heights means turbulence. But what if you don't have to feel it? Our partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management gives you access to a broad range of global strategies. So when you invest in StanLib's Global Multi-Strategy Diversified Growth Fund, your money can withstand the ups and downs caused by market fluctuations. Seek more returns at stanlib.com/more. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
I'm chatting with Roland Pienz, director of Wine Cellar. Roland, appreciate the time again. You are my go-to wine chap. We've talked around wine from many different sort of angles, broadly as an asset class. You sent me a note last week. LinkedIn does have some uses, it turns out. You and a colleague are going to be consulting on an actively managed certificate that will list in Switzerland, but perhaps the lead there is it's going to have wine in it. Essentially, it's going to be an easy way to access wine as an alternative investment.
Thanks, Simon. Yeah, we're really excited because we've been looking for the right kind of structure to house a wine investment. And this is it. It's the AMC. It's securitized, which means the investor has confidence that what they're buying actually has the underlying within it. And there's an ISIN number. So there's no more bulletproof that a wine investment can be. And we love this asset class because you look over the last 20 years, you'll see that it's long-term gains and it's uncorrelated and less volatile than a lot of the other asset classes. And now you're able to move in and out of this AMC, much like you would with any other instrument.
Absolutely. And we've chatted around wine as an investment before. And this will be, I mean, it's not going to be like equities where you're trading up a storm. There might be some trading happening, but I would imagine a fair bit of this is wine. And we have chatted before, you pick it up early, hold it some years, and then exit on the other end.
That's exactly right. There's some star performers that we would put down for a long time. And then there'd be some more active trading. But I was just looking yesterday how the top four wines in the world are all owned by LVMH, Moët and Chandon and Dom Perignon and alike. And those wines have been going up 12% annualized for the last 20 years. And I don't think they're going to be stopping. So really, it's a great place to have an alternative investment.
They weren't in the article I was reading. It's going to be the four main regions, Burgundy, Bordeaux, Champagne, Tuscany, no South African wines. And that's not that we don't do good wines. Maybe we just don't do quite good enough wines.
Well, we're getting there, Simon. We will be putting a small percentage into South African wines. It has traditionally been very difficult because of the way that our industry has been structured. We haven't made large quantities of fine wines. And the reason it would pick the main regions of Europe is because they're the most liquid and the most traded. And of course, you want this certificate to be liquid. And South African wines have been less so. But with this enterprise, we actually will be investing in South African wines. That's great news for the industry as well.
So I was preparing for this interview and I was digging around, and there's a couple of places where you can get sensors around prices and trends and the like. Wine is becoming more liquid, no pun intended, but the tradability, certainly from what I would imagine 20 years ago, probably certainly 40 years ago, it was just somebody's cellar.
Absolutely. Now it's changed completely, of course, with technology, the internet, LiveX, which is now the de facto pricing mechanism in the market. They've been around for 20 years. They've got millions of points of data. And like you can trade any other asset class, you can now trade these little stocks, these wine stocks, and there's liquidity across multiple platforms. So really, there's a lot more certainty than ever before.
Do you have a expected listing date for the AMC?
It's imminent. We're speaking to funders at the moment, people looking to invest, and now's the time. Shire Capital are offering it in South Africa, and they would be the ones to contact. And Wine Cellar is backed behind it as well, giving the comfort of 20 years of fine wine trading and experience. We've been doing the same sort of practice for the last 20 years, and now it's time just to formalize it a lot more.
Yeah, it's that liquidity. It's the ease of transaction within an AMC. And correct, as you say, it's all the sort of I's being dotted and T's being crossed. Changing topics slightly, when you messaged me last week, you also said you've been in contact with Minister Steenhuisen around changes to current outdated and expensive export legislation. What is the issue with our export legislation in terms of wine?
Well, we've got a very good wine certification and export protocol, but it's almost too good. So if you want to export some fine old wine, you have to give 3 samples away for them to test it. Doesn't matter if it's 10 Rand or 1,000 Rand a bottle. And then, of course, we don't have long-term bond stores in this country. So fine wine gets stored without VAT and duty so that you don't get any leakage. And we don't have these long-term bond stores. So we're looking to have other practices where we're able to store wines in bond and then move them across the world and trade them on multiple platforms. And really, it's important that South African fine wine gets traded around the world because that's visibility. And then a hotel in any part of the world could buy it off these platforms and have it on their list. And really, South African fine wine hasn't had that exposure in the past. We generally drink it when it's young. And you know what? South African wines are fantastic. They're world class and they need a bit of age on them.
Yeah, I got a friend who lives in Manhattan. He was at a restaurant and there was some old South African wines on the menu. I don't think I've ever seen him so excited on WhatsApp. He comes often and he says our wine needs to be out there more. A last question, which I always ask you when I conclude an interview with you, Roland. I can't let you going with asking, what's your Tuesday night quaffing wine for those on the budget these days?
Sure. I just have to think about the rats that I've got in my fridge at the moment. It's a Chenin Blanc under 200 Rand. And, you know, South African Chenin Blanc is becoming world famous, like white Burgundy is. People around the world are looking for South African Chenin, and rats is one of the best of them. And yeah, I've got it in the fridge.
Roland Peens, director of Wine Cellar. As he said, it's Shire Capital are sort of doing the book build, I suppose, in a sense for that AMC. Roland, always appreciate the time. That's it for today. I was chatting with Jimmy Moyoha yesterday. We were talking Sasol results. Huge losses, no dividend, lots to not like. We asked you if you hold Sasol. Almost half of you said yes, you hold, and you're in pain. About a third of you said no, it's a horror show. The rest said waiting for things to improve. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website's in the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow, the U.S. debt crisis.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.